Hello, everyone. Just as a reminder, this is episode 86. It is the second part of Scott and I's regional report. The first part, episode 85, was our Swiss. In this episode, we're going to discuss our Top Cut games. So I hope everybody enjoys that. Thank you so much.
Awesome. All right. So you did not play a single Spectre in your Swiss.
Correct.
Let us proceed on to the Top Cut. You and Aaron were the only undefeated in Swiss, both 4-0. Mm-hmm. So let's, and now at this point, I haven't actually discussed my Top Cut games. I will go somewhat quickly just because I've talked about the box so much. But maybe let's do a little bit more in terms of, because you, let's just get started into your Top Cut. Top 8, who is your opponent?
Grant. Okay. Also one of our wonderful friends who came from SoCal.
Yep.
He was running Spectre, so he was the only Spectre I played that day.
Wow, that's crazy. And he's also he beat my box twice, I think, with Spectre. And I, at that point, like, I had not lost many games with the box to Spectre, but at that point I was like, oh boy, I was like kind of having an existential crisis thinking I needed to drop my double smugglers for R2 because they don't do anything really against Spectre. And so
right.
I was really feeling it. And he was 3-1 on the day, did very, very well. So,
yeah. So we were playing Mos Eisley, the pick up and return, boxes.
Yep.
And it's really interesting. So I took the exterior side. I took the interior side. He took the exterior side.
Okay. Who had initiative?
That's a great question. I cannot remember who had initiative.
Okay.
But basically, it's really interesting. So he kind of moved everyone up, you know, the middle. I moved people along, you know, the outer wall.
Okay.
So, you know, towards the – so if you're looking at it from the interior being at the bottom, there's the hallway with the terminal and the two doors. If you go to the door to your left, I kind of opened that and went through there. I kept everyone away from the terminal, and then sort of we both last activated. I put the DT next to it, and he system shocked my Death Trooper, and I said, that's okay. I really want the card.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I had sort of positioned Thrawn and my officer, you know, a little far out, and he
moved Sabine. So where are you in relation to, like, the evaporator? So if you go if the inside section is the bottom, and you're on the left hand side looking towards, you know, looking down that side of the map, how close, like, where are you positioned in relation to the evaporator that's in that big room or big space? You know what I'm talking about?
You mean like the moisture evaporator on the outside tile?
Yep.
That's like blocking terrain.
Yep.
I have an officer that's like 4 spaces away and Thrawn's 5.
Okay. So you're not
towards the interior hall.
Okay. So you're not super aggressively placed.
Yeah. I'm Thrawn's literally like 2 spaces from the terminal.
Okay.
But his Sabine hops the blocking terrain.
Yep.
You know, throws a grenade at Thrawn and the officer and does 2 damage. And I'm like, oh, great. Cause, and I'm thinking, oh, he's going to run her back and I'm just going to have, like, lost 4 points, you know, for, you know, that. And to my surprise, he says, all right, now I'm going to attack the officer.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And I think I dodged.
oh, that's gotta feel good.
Right. I remember I dodged with an officer once in the tournament and I don't remember when it was, but regardless, like, I was like, okay, why is he doing this? Like, he's now left Sabine, like, basically to just get shot by me a bunch.
Yeah.
Which is definitely what I'd do.
Yeah.
You know, so I kind of position my Death Trooper, you know, get a shot off. But what he does is he, you know, he moves Kanan up, like, diagonally behind her. And he Spectres her. She takes a shot and runs away. And I'm like, okay. So
that makes
sense. He was saying, like, he's going to make the shot and he's going to get her away. But then Kanan is in line of sight of Thrawn. I move the Emperor up and Force Lightning him. And, you know, have Thrawn take a shot.
Mm.
He moves Zeb up to prevent me from getting any more attacks.
And he's also, he's not running motivation. He's running
doubt. He's running doubt, which is pretty useless against my list.
Yep.
I have a few tokens, but, you know, I'm usually spending them.
Yeah.
And he moves, you know, I move Vader up and hit Zeb for a pretty significant, like 10 Ooh. Damage.
Ooh.
He moves Ezra up next to Zeb. You know, and it's interesting because, you know, start of the next round, I play face to face and I have Vader adjacent to Zeb, Ezra, Kanan, and two away from Sabine.
It was amazing. I like looked over at your board and was like, what is going on? And yeah, I also thought at that point, I was like, oh my gosh, Scott's going to lose this game. Cause I assumed what had happened is he had just like swarmed you somehow and was like getting ready to like remove Vader.
Yeah. So basically what happens is, you know, he kind of said, I'm not attacking Vader, cause he had Kanan attack Vader. And he dealt one damage because he was weakened and he
couldn't get the pierce through.
He just couldn't get. Yeah, he didn't even roll enough damage. I didn't have to Zillow. He didn't do enough damage and I rolled well enough that it just didn't. It wasn't. I just said, you know, I'll take one damage and I'll save Zillow for Sabine or Ezra, you know.
Basically
by the end of that round, through some parting blows where he had exited the space, cause it's interesting because he sort of said like, he ran Kanan away. I said, all right, I'm in a parting blow. I killed Kanan. He said, I'll Spectre Cell now. And it's like, hey, his activation ended when he died. So you can't Spectre Cell. So he's like, oh crap. I should have Spectre Celled before I did anything with Kanan.
Yeah.
So then I was able to kill Zeb. And basically by the end of the round, he had killed Thrawn and I had killed Kanan, Zeb, and Sabine.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. So make a long story short, you know, we sort of trade things off until it's Hera, Chopper, and Chopper's got like one health left. And Ezra versus an officer, the Emperor, who has taken like 10 or 11 damage, and Vader with 3 damage.
Wow.
Right. And Ezra's taken like 4.
Okay.
So, you know, we kind of do this little bit of a dance. You know, Chopper system shocks the Emperor to death, but I'm okay with that. I play Dying Lunge and I say, okay, well, as long as I deal 4 damage or more, I put him in guaranteed force choke death range.
Yep. And does he have anyone? Is the officer close enough for him to attack to recover?
Yes, he is close enough.
Okay.
If he chose to do so.
Okay.
He did not choose to do so.
Okay.
So because I'll tell you what happened. So the Emperor rolls 4 damage on his dice and funny thing, the Emperor actually does really well against Zeb because he just has guaranteed pierce 3.
That's so good.
Yeah, like, I just need damage. So, yep. And it's just guaranteed. So, fantastic. So, that's actually something I thought about deeply. It's like, actually, the Emperor is almost the best figure to attack Ezra. Like, he's never going to kill him in one shot. It's impossible. But, like, if I had to choose Vader or the Emperor to deal the last 2 or 3 damage to, you know, Ezra, I might choose the Emperor.
Yeah.
Funny enough. So what happens is he just decides to run Ezra away and just try and save his life, which he does, except I then activate my officer and move Vader too and guarantees that I can get him.
Yeah.
So then, you know, he kills my officer. Vader kills Ezra. We're both up close. We either are close to 30 points or at 30 points. Hera has a box, to take to a stash.
Okay.
And then basically I just spend the rest of the mission chasing down Chopper and Hera and murdering them with Vader. And, I just killed all of his figures. Vader was the only figure. Yeah. Vader was the only figure left on the map.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
With 3 damage on him.
Oh, yep. There's Rogue One for you.
Yeah.
Right there. Man, that's awesome.
I really, you know, when I was surrounded, I said, you know, they're like, oh, you're surrounded by Spectre Cell. And I said, all I'm surrounded by is fear and dead men.
Oh, I love it, Scott. Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. Especially because, so Drew and Grant, they played together a lot. And I think Grant beating Drew running, so Grant was running Spectre and Drew running Empire was what got Drew off of the Empire, and I'm really glad that you were able to do so well. So
I'm just here to bring Drew back to the fold.
That's right. And let's not give up hope yet. My top eight opponent was Sam. I'm actually going to have Sam on the podcast, so I'm not going to go into this match with too many details. Again, we're on Mos Eisley crates. It's a great map for me, even versus Spectre. This is like where the Alliance Smugglers pay off, is because I'm able to pick up boxes and apply pressure, which I do. I also have Intel Leak round one, so I'm able to burn Heart of Freedom, and then I heal Mac with MHD. So I'm down nothing, and he's got Pummel, and I can't quite remember what his other card was, but it wasn't anything obviously better than Heart of Freedom. He does have Pummel, right? So that's good. But and then what I do, as I said in my Swiss prep or in my Swiss report, is my strategy is with Spectre is when they split up, I go for whichever of the wings is closer, represents more of a threat, but also I can just kill whoever I can, right? And I commit on a gambit in order to remove him. He brings Spectre, or he brings Zeb and Sabine over. I commit to deal damage to them. I'm able to survive. Sabine's chucking grenades. I'm able to get a big hit off on Ezra as he's coming in, and he never has On the Lamb in play, so he has to be kind of defensive. He never rolls a dodge, which is good because Han just keeps taking these power shots at Ezra, and Sam is never really able to do anything with him. And then I'm just able to keep everybody alive as I'm pulling away from Sam. So I commit to make a kill, and then I'm just slowly pulling back as Spectre Cell collapses. And I was able to pull it off. So that was my top eight. Okay, top four.
Cool. So my top four was actually against JK.
Yeah.
And this was Tarkin Weapons, which I was sort of like, okay, this is one of my worst maps, which if I get the wrong deployment, I'm going to caveat, because I've actually learned how to make it one of my best maps.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it was against Han Rangers, which is a matchup I'd never played against with VPT, but we had all sort of theorized that it would be an unfavorable matchup for me.
Yes.
Just saying based off of, I don't have the jets to soak anything up. Like I have got there's a lot of targets on my head.
Yep.
It's hard to get to them. And so I was a little worried going in. So with this one, I got initiative and I took the green treehouse side.
Okay.
The first round is very much just positioning.
Yep.
The only weapon picked up the whole game was Vader picked up a red weapon.
Oh my gosh, that's disgusting.
It is probably the most superfluous, overkill, not necessary thing in the entire meta right now is Vader with an extra red weapon.
Yes, yes, this is true. I'm surprised his smugglers didn't pick up any weapons.
Literally Vader was the only one with an activation to do it.
Okay.
And I'll only do it if I have nothing better to do, and I had nothing better to do. It was a map where I was like, hey, I'm not putting Vader in any lines of sight.
Yep.
And what JK does is, he moves his Rangers down the hall. Mm.
When you say down the hall, what you mean is away from his deployment zone towards the hangar area.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yep.
And he keeps Han by the deployment door, and that bottom door doesn't open for a long, long time. So that one's not really in play.
Yeah.
And basically what happens is, Han kind of comes out, he doesn't have a focus because he never focused him because he just knew I'd doubt it away. What happens is I doubt away one of his Ranger focuses.
Yep.
And he takes a shot, an unfocused end around shot on the Death Trooper.
Okay. With Han.
With Han. Doesn't do enough damage to kill him.
Okay. Which you shouldn't expect to kill, right?
If you're unfocused, it's almost impossible.
Okay.
So he's hoping that he can, just... like, I'm going to go last, and then I'm going to go first, and then I'm going to kill him and run away.
Yeah, okay.
Vader does a a force choke in around a Han.
Yep.
And then next round comes up. Either I'm getting initiative or I think I take initiative.
Okay.
And I run up to Han with a red weapon and roll lethal damage, and he on the lambs.
Okay.
And then I play parting blow.
Okay.
And take Han up to 9 damage.
Because you're not able to roll your third red dice.
Yeah, I've already rolled it once.
Yep.
So, you know, so he runs Han away. Okay. To keep him alive. You know, and he kind of retreats Han down into this like nest of like Rangers and Hera and, you know, all of his stuff. And, you know, a couple more turns go by and, you know, Thrawn kind of move, you know, I just take control of the top area. Officers and Thrawns are scoring me points.
Yeah.
Next to weapons, the Emperor is just sort of chilling, being a threat, next to Vader. You know, run Vader in, to deal my damage to Han and, parting blow Han. And then at the end of that round.
So Han's dead at this point.
Well, Han's not dead. Well, so what I'm saying is I kind of ran into his hallway.
Okay.
To do that attack and parting blow. And he ran Han away. I had it wrong. So he actually did go first in that round and he killed the DT and ran away. Okay. And then I ran Vader up to do the thing that I said. But he had C-3PO in the way blocking most of the Rangers from seeing Vader. So he gets like 2 Ranger shots off on Vader. Does like 4 damage.
Okay.
One of them is focused. I actually think both of them was because one played primary target. So he maybe had 5 or 6 damage.
Okay.
Han doesn't have an end of round shot because C-3PO is blocking.
Yep.
But JK just had a baby.
Yep.
And he's sleep deprived.
Yeah.
And he did not realize that by moving 2, I could see Han and he had Rebel High Command and R2. So he ran out of cards. I just force choked Han to death at the end of the round.
Oh man. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I go first and I'm just like, all right, it's time, you know. Well, actually,
you're a dead man, Todd.
Yeah. I think actually either he took initiative or he went first after that. But, you know, he made 2 or 3 Ranger attacks against Vader that were not focused. No, I think did 1 damage.
Oh, man.
And then I just, you know, he kind of ran away and Vader just sort of killed things. And then Thrawn was killing things. And JK, I force lightninged C-3PO and 2 Rangers to death with 1 force lightning. I think JK was just like, okay, I'm good.
Yep. All right.
We're ready to be done.
I'm not a glutton for any more punishment.
Yeah. So it was, you know, I think a little bit of tiredness, but just like, you know, Han dying was a huge deal. And then, you know, if you can, you know, put enough pressure on Han Rangers that they don't have time to focus.
Yep.
Then it's like, okay, well, time to die.
Yep, exactly. I mean, it's just math at that point, right? You're like, you're not going to do enough damage and I'm going to kill you. So,
yeah, because it's almost impossible for Vader not to one-shot a Ranger.
And when he's got an extra red weapon, I am somewhat positive it is impossible for him to not one-shot a Ranger.
So he could roll 4 regular damage, I think.
Okay. It's true.
And it'd just be 5 damage coming at him if he rolled his worst roll whatsoever.
Wow, that's crazy. And the odds of that are 1 in 6, 1 in 6, 1 in 6, 1 in 6. Yeah, not the kind of odds you want to be.
Yeah, it's something like 1 in 1,300.
There you go. Awesome. And we should also, so JK is also going to be coming on the podcast. He needs his due because I don't know if he had played, like, it's a testament to his strength as a player that I do not know how many reps he got in with Han Rangers. It certainly wasn't very many, and he went 3-1 in a very competitive field.
Well, I think he had decided to run Han Rangers the night before.
Holy smokes. Oh, wow.
I thought he was going to run Vader too, because that's what he had been testing.
Yeah. Yeah. I assume he just kind of got a little bit worried about... He wasn't as confident versus Spectre as you were, I am sure.
Yeah, well, I did some testing with Aaron against Spectre, which I'm sure you'll talk about in your next, you know, match. And so I felt a little bit better about it with some of how Vader had performed there. So that kind of cemented of like, all right, I'm going to run Vader.
Yeah, That is true. And Kazarin's obviously a very, very strong Spectre player. And if you feel good about that, then you should feel pretty good about your matchup generally. Like Scott said, Aaron was my top four. We're playing on Tarkin weapons. This map, this mission, I will say as a preface, I only won because the round that the game was going to be decided, I drew Miracle Worker and Second Chance. Those are the two cards I had drawn at the end of the previous round. So I think this is the start of round two. And he has got a expert net that is just closed around me. There's nowhere for me to put Dracotta. I've kind of boxed myself. So when I play Tarkin, what I do is, if on the weapons, is I retreat deep into my own deployment zone and send Han. Most of the time I don't send Dracotta out versus Spectre, but I send Han and smugglers out to go pick up weapons. And so I retreat deep into my deployment zone. He sends Sabine up kind of as like a little bit of a sacrificial piece. I put some damage on her with Dracotta, run back, and then I am able to kill her, I think, with Han, either with an end of round or with a round one shot and then an end of round shot. I am able to kill her. Oh, because she rolls a dodge. That's why. But he's collapsing, and he's collapsing fast. He's putting on a lot of pressure. However, I draw Second Chance, and I draw Miracle Worker. And then what I'm able to do is I'm able to kill, let's see, how does the math work out? I'm able, he has got Ezra, Kanan, and Zeb all in my grill. I've got Dracotta with probably 3 or 4 damage on her, but she's got Second Chance. I've got MHD alive, and I've got Miracle Worker in hand. So he goes to kill MHD, which I think he does in one shot, but I'm Miracle Worker. So at this point, I just need to survive 3 more attacks, hopefully, which I am able to do. And he doesn't have on the land in hand. And so I'm able to kill Ezra, who also rolls a dodge. He might have not rolled a dodge with Sabine, but like he rolled well enough that I wasn't, it took a significant amount to bring him down, but he does roll a dodge with Ezra. And at that point, I actually thought I'd lost the game, but because he didn't have on the land, I'm able to kill him. Dracotta is still alive. And then my smugglers, who have picked up green weapons, are able to start stunning people. So I stun Zeb. I'm sorry, I stun Kanan because I think he's got Dying Lunge in hand. And then I just work on killing Zeb. And that was the story of our game. Aaron completely would have won if I would not have drawn Miracle Worker and Second Chance. And something I always say about the box is if I don't draw the cards I need, I lose. And that's just kind of how the game goes. But like this is one of those games where it wasn't just that I had the cards in hand, but that I literally drew the two cards I needed
for right, the round. When you needed them.
Exactly. So I got extremely lucky. I also had a bit of bad play on my part. I had played Take Initiative. He had, and I think this was at the start of that round. And we were both, I should also say, JK was tired. We were tired. I was very, very tired just because, like, you know, I had Joey, Grant, and Drew fly in. We'd been skirmishing. We'd, like, shocked shotguns the previous day. And, like, we're just tired. And so I go to Take Initiative, and he's like, okay. And he lets me have it. So I exhaust somebody, and I get my smuggler. I'm like, okay, I'm going to activate my smuggler. And the reason why is because I want to stun one of these people before the round starts. And then all of a sudden Aaron's like, oh, I have negation. Like, cause he had not seen that he had negation. Obviously I haven't like burned any of his cards or anything with Mac yet. And I thought for some reason, like in my brain, I was thinking I can't let him play negation now because I've conveyed information that he shouldn't have, was kind of like my thinking. But as I was thinking about that, I'm like, that's not true. Like all I've done is say that I'm, you know, activating my smuggler, which conveys I'm going to try and stun somebody, right? But it was just bad form on my part. And so
I mean, like I'm going to disagree with that. Like, I don't think it's bad form. I think like there's something to be said for like, you know, like I think I had a player who in my match against Droey, like he had targeting network, which you get to redraw. Yes. And like
spend a surge to redraw after you've played it.
Yeah. And so he like went and did something else had happened. Like new information had entered, like someone had activated or something. He's like, oh, I forgot to redraw my card from that attack. And I said, hey, like, I'm going to let you do that this time. But like, yeah, it says May. So yeah, if you don't draw it in the window, like you can't draw it.
Yeah.
And I was happy to let that be a one-time exception, but like it's also a regional, you know, which is our best prep for Worlds. And like, you're not going to, like, if you like don't pay attention to your hand of like what you have, like,
Yeah.
I forgot to doubt twice in two different games.
Yes.
And I didn't ask if I could doubt. And I'm not saying Aaron was in the wrong for asking. He's absolutely not. It was totally fine. No.
Yeah.
But like, it's one of those things where like, I don't expect anyone to allow me to do anything in like competitive play. Like if it was a friendly skirmish or, you know, or like an informal tournament, sure. But like when like stuff's on the line and there are stakes, like you just, you know, you have to assume that if you miss the window, like you're SOL.
Yeah, I guess. And that's true. And Aaron was also like, I could tell Aaron wanted me to let him negate it, because if I would have taken initiative, the game would have been very different, because I would have been able to kill somebody before anything happened. And so it would have been a very different game. And I could tell he wanted me to have it. And like I totally get what you're saying, Scott, and you're right. And also at Worlds, you should not expect, like if you play take, they don't say, and they say, okay, it's yours. And then you start activating something, you should never plan. And I don't think you should ask your opponent to let you negate it. But it was one of those things where we were both so tired, and I could tell like he had just made a mistake, right? And I didn't want the game to be decided on that. And so, right.
And I think that's fair.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I think it can totally go both ways. But I was glad I did, because I still felt bad about it. Like, again, I was exhausted, and so I hadn't really thought about it. But after, as I was reflecting on that, I was really glad that I had to let him do it, because otherwise I would just feel very, very bad. But again, the game was decided because I drew. I was not because I was able to take initiative and it was negated, but because I drew the two cards I needed when I needed them. So our game was unbelievably close, and Aaron's an incredible player, right? Like, I was his only loss on the day. So he was, and he's just been rolling.
Right. And he had beaten you in your Swiss.
Yes. He had beaten me in Swiss. So, you know, and I knew that Uskru is actually not as good of a matchup for the box versus Spectre, because I'm not really able to pull points off of the board, right? Like, I'm only going to get points from killing his guys. But in the same vein, conversely, Tarkin, I'm able to get weapons. I'm able to concentrate my fire a little bit more, right? Like in terms of I'm going to have everybody as he collapses, like there's only like one or two avenues for him to collapse, and I'm going to be able to shrapnel and Jakarta and do all that stuff. So anyway, good game, close game, extremely close game, but I was able to pull it out. On to the final.
Oh, the final.
Scott's repeat final, we should say. And this time I'm actually glad I drew we were playing on Uskru, because that is one time where I have a not strong matchup, but versus Vader, I want Uskru because I want to have as long of lines of sight as possible.
Yeah, and that was definitely something you capitalized on for sure.
So, Scott, maybe you want to give just like a quick summary of the game, and then I'll fill in with any points. And we should also say, again, I was exhausted. And this is one of those games where Scott forgot to pull doubt. It wouldn't have super mattered, because I would have been able to, he forgot to doubt away focus. I still had focus generators. Yeah. Would have like slowed the pace down, but Scott, you never even asked to pull away my focus.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, it wouldn't be appropriate. I don't think it's the final match. Like, so sure. I'll say this. I don't think it would have made a difference in that. The difference it would have made is that you would have had one fewer smuggler focused.
Yes, that's true.
Because that's true. When I had the opportunity to doubt you, you know, I would have doubted away Han's focus or Dracata's focus, and you would have had an opportunity to refocus them. So it really wouldn't have made a big difference. So essentially what the map was, you know, we were playing priority message. So it was really just going to be a war of attrition. Yes. And in that way, it very much was, because what happened is I just sort of pile over, you know, I have the, you know, cross blocking terrain diner on the, you know, the diner's on the bottom from my perspective. You know, and I'm sort of just hanging out, having Thrawn try and get rid of as many of your cards, trying to draw my intel leaks. You know, my rule by fear hand, I got rid of second chance, and that was a really tough decision. I didn't really want to make it. Part of my motivation for that was I thought, hey, if I need second chance, I'm probably going to have lost anyway.
Because you don't, because second chance is not very good versus Dracada, because she can, yeah, she can shrapnel and then demolish to get back through it. So
yeah, I mean, there was a time in the game where I said I really wish I had second chance right now, but yeah. You know, like you said, like with the shrapnel and blast two, it's just something that I've played second chance against you, and it hasn't really been a huge help.
Yeah.
And so kind of how that plays out. As I pitch that, he intel leaks away my take initiative.
Yep.
I Thrawn away Miracle Worker, which is anyone who could tell you at that tournament, I literally shouted out loud, enjoy.
Yes, you did.
Because if you kill Miracle Worker, like that's half my job done.
That is, it's so true. Oh, it's true. Oh, I did feel a little bit sick about it.
Yeah, I mean, and then, you know, I think, what else did I get rid of? I think I got rid of tools.
You got rid of tool? No, because I used tools to one shot, or to almost one shot Thrawn.
That's right.
You got rid of second chance, and you intel leaked away on the
lamb. I did intel leak on the lamb. And it's funny because, you know, basically what happened is once the doors opened, I had positioned Thrawn so that if Han overcommitted, he could hit Thrawn. And Kenny played tools, and Kenny played he had a focus, and he rolled 5 dice against Thrawn, and he rolled exactly what he needed to, because I had 2 block and I played a token, and he rolled 12 damage.
Yep.
And actually, I think he rolled 13. And the way that it worked is this is right after I'd forgotten to doubt something. So I was feeling particularly vexed.
Yeah. This is the end of round 2.
Yes.
That we're talking about.
Yeah, and basically I have a decision, which is, do I deplete doubt and force him to reroll his blue die, which as long as it rolled a different value than it had, would deal 1 fewer damage and allow me to pitch a card to keep Thrawn alive.
Yeah.
Or do I just say, okay, Thrawn can die. Yeah. And I'm well aware that if he has take initiative, Thrawn's dead anyway.
Yeah.
Because I don't have negation, and I don't think I'm going to draw negation. Spoiler, I didn't. And I just say, you know what? If he has to spend an extra action, like, this will be worth it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, and part of my decision, Kenny, it's actually interesting, was that I was like, Kenny is really good at playing around doubt anyway.
Yeah.
That I don't think it'll be that big of a deal.
Yeah.
And so what happens is I make you reroll. It works out. Thrawn's alive. 8 damage, but he's alive. You take initiative. You activate Dracada. I force choke on at the end of the round.
Yep.
Dracada shrapnels, kills Thrawn, but only does 1 damage to Vader with the attack and 1 with a shrapnel.
Because you rolled double 3 block.
That's right. And I had a token, so I had 7 block.
Yeah. And I was focused. And I was impressed I got any damage through. But yeah, our game was so close. And at that point, I was like, because I needed to kill, the reason why I needed to kill Thrawn was I needed to get something off the board so I could pull back and feel comfortable with like the pressure I was applying. But when you made it so that I couldn't do that, now I'm like, okay, well, I still need to kill Thrawn, which I can do with shrapnel. But I need to commit this attack on Vader now, right, as opposed to being able to wait a little bit or wait for you to more come into me, then I can collapse back further. So when this attack didn't go as I planned, I was concerned. I was like, well, I mean, I'm not like behind, but I don't have an advantage that I would have liked to have had.
For sure, for sure. And I think the interesting thing was that, you know, when you shrapneled Thrawn to death, I had this like tinge of regret of just like, well, that was a huge waste.
Yeah.
And then the way that it played out is that it actually is what allowed me to kill Han.
Yeah.
Because after Dracada goes, and this was kind of a big swing. Yeah. And so you've got Han out there and like, all right, I've got the combo.
Yep.
Time to go.
Yep.
And I go and I do the combo. And
because you've also, at this point, you have burned on the lamb. You've killed it with intel leak.
I've burned on the lamb and I'm like, well, I've got the combo.
Yep.
And if he dodges, I lose. And if he doesn't, I kill Han. And I kill Han.
I, I actually don't think. Oh, you didn't kill him on the first one.
Yeah, but I parting blowed to kill him.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So at this point, I've lost Thrawn and you've lost Han.
Yep.
And
I've put, I was able to element of surprise. Han is focused again, because I think I had moved. Somehow Han is focused. I'm not actually 100% positive how that was the case.
I don't think he was focused.
Actually, because I played element though to get rid of your dice. That was because Vader had bombed up, so I had played element in order, and you know, he attacks me. He doesn't kill me, but I'm able to put like respectable damage, not like crazy. You didn't roll a three block or anything on when I shot back.
But yeah, so you know, kind of plays out there where you know, Vader, you kind of death by a thousand cuts shoot Vader a lot.
Yep.
And Vader does like 10 damage to Drakata.
Yeah, because so then what happens is Scott is able to, I'm not like 100% positive on how the timing of this all works out, but Scott comes up, it must have been the start of the next round or something, where Scott comes up and hits Drakata. I'm next to 3PO, and you still like, oh no, something must have happened, and 3PO must be gone at this point, because I'd had no surge blocks, and you rolled perfect. Like, you rolled perfect, and did 10 damage to Drakata, so...
Yeah.
Again, I was also very worried at that point.
Yeah. And then Drakata, you know, does your little token thing.
Yep. I shoot Palp. I drop a rubble on Vader.
Vader plays Dying Lunge.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's what
I kill MHD.
Yep.
And at this point, I have an officer, Vader, or an officer, Palpatine, and a Death Trooper.
Yep.
Versus Gideon, Mock, two smugglers, and Hera.
Yep.
And I think we're playing the droids. So at this point, it goes up that I have 34 points going into the final round.
Yep.
And so all I have to do is have more points than you.
Yep. And I'm at 27 points at this point.
Right. So it comes down to if you kill Palpatine and I kill nothing, then you win.
Yep.
And if I kill anything, I win.
Yep.
But Kenny had been really smart with your demolition tokens, and so I couldn't really get a shot off. Like, the only shot I could really get off is a 6-range shot against a smuggler.
Yep.
Who, I mean, if I hit him, I'm probably going to kill him, but I have to roll perfectly.
Yeah.
You know, I have to either be able to surge for accuracy and still have enough damage, or I have to be able to surge for damage and have built-in accuracy, right?
Which, yep,
with against a white die is just not super likely.
Yeah.
You know, cause I needed, you know, and, you know, Palp had 6 damage on him and I gave him 2 tokens over the time. And, you know, you just, you know, I pitched cards and Zillowed and it just wasn't enough to keep Palp alive. And
yeah. What I thought was, so at this point, I've got 2 options. I can either kill your droid with 3-ish attacks and put some damage on Palp, or I could just go and try and kill Palp, right? So
right.
Palp had, I think, probably 6 damage or something left. I don't know exactly how much he had left.
He had 7 left.
So he had 7 left. So I have to deal. So I don't have like a like crazy good offense, but I've got enough attacks. And because you had to bring Palp up in order to kill Drakata, I think it was.
Yeah.
And so
I had to force line. So I tempted... You know, I actually don't think that Vader didn't kill MHD. He did 6 damage on MHD. Oh,
that's right. That's right.
But I think Palpatine went next and just tempted him to death.
Yeah. And then Force Lightning to kill Drakata.
Yeah. And it's interesting because, you know, we were sort of talking about this because everyone was tired and I didn't notice it, but someone had thought that you hadn't taken a damage on Drakata for the strain, but you had pitched negation for it.
Yes. I think that I'm like, I was actually thinking about this, Scott. I'm like 80% positive that is the case, but I was also very, very tired.
So. Sure. I mean, so, well, because my thought was I'm sure that's the case. And like, even if it wasn't, like the way I sort of feel about it is, you know, both players are responsible for the legal game state.
Sure.
So even if like that had been the case, like if I don't notice it, it's, and so that's the thing is that I just didn't question it. And I think, I think that, you just pitch negation, I'm sure, because unless you negated something of mine, which I can't think that you did, because I played looking for a fight.
Yeah, I didn't have it.
Yeah, so. You don't think you negated anything.
Yeah.
So what happens is, you know, if you had to take that damage, if you didn't have the final card to pitch, is I can tempt Dracada, and I can Force Lightning Mach, which would still kill MHD, and it would give me enough points that I would win no matter what.
Had he taken a damage? I'm sorry, was MHD, had he taken a, Mac, had he taken a damage?
Yes, he had one damage at the end of the game that I'd noticed that you had on his card.
Oh, okay.
So, because I don't remember how or why, but I just saw that you had a damage on his card.
Interesting. What this is the reason I was like doing this math. Before I'd realized I should have killed Palpatine, what I thought was, well, if I kill your droid, put some damage on Palpatine, then you're not going to, because you aren't going to be able to kill my droid. Then we're at least even, and it's whoever can get off. Because at that point, like, let's say you kill Mac, then you're at 37, right? Then you have to kill either Gideon or Hera before I am able to kill either an officer or Palp, obviously.
Right.
So I was like, I was working myself through all that math, and I was like, oh, wait, I should just go and try and kill Palp.
Which, so. I mean, you know, part of me was thinking, like, because we kind of talked about, like, I spent a good 5 minutes sort of debating, like,
with your Death Trooper.
Yeah, do I go for the Death Trooper kill? Mm. Or do I, you know, just risk it and say, or do I say, like, hey, the Death Trooper is going to go give Palp a token and just sort of, you know, just do that. And, like, it made sense of, like, hey, that attack dealing damage is so unlikely that it's really not worth the effort. But, like, in retrospect, like, you had, like, 5 attacks on Palp to do 7 damage.
Yeah.
I actually think probably the attack would have been a better idea, just because, like, killing Palp that many times over or, like, with that many attacks probably was more likely. At least that's the thought.
And how many tell me on your Death Trooper, they've got built in 4 accuracy. They surge for pierce 1 damage plus 2 accuracy. Is that right?
Yeah. So it's plus 2 damage and then plus 2 accuracy, pierce 1.
They can't give themselves tokens, right?
No, they can't give themselves tokens. So what it would have been, I mean, I think I would have had to deal 2 damage to the smuggler.
So what I'm looking at is, so the smuggler was 6 spaces away. Yeah. So that's a range 8 shot.
He was 4 away, but it would have been a range 6 shot because of his accuracy.
Okay. So buff. Let's calculate the odds there. The odds of you doing 2 damage are 51%. So,
yeah. So
wow,
that's what I should have done. But, you know, like, the question of, like, am I going to have the surge and you know, it was, you know, there were some legitimate fears there that I, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the problem is like, when you've played that many games, the mental math that you're going through, like, it took me, you know, probably 45 seconds to 2 minutes to realize that I just needed to kill Palp. So I feel like it's tough to, like, keep your mental acuity going when you have played just that many games, right? We were just tired.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
And also, we've played this matchup enough, like the box versus Vader, that, like, a lot of it is just kind of not, like, intuitive, but kind of reflexive, right? Like, in terms of Vader comes up, we're going to take our shots. Okay, did you kill MHD before I was able to get off Miracle Worker? Or, like, am I in a bad position? Or have you killed Dracada before she's gotten off a second shot? Okay, I lose, right? And, like, we just know enough of that it's kind of reflexive. And so, it was just at the end of a very long day.
Right, absolutely. So, I mean, it feels good that, like, it was 40-41. It could have gone either way.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Scott. So with that being the case, we're running a little bit long, but let me pick your brain just a teensy bit in terms of what you think. Let's talk about prospectively. Future regionals and then Worlds is coming up in a month and a half. 2 months, sorry. 2 months.
Right.
2.5 months.
Hotel booked today.
That's right. We booked our hotel. I got to book our flight, flight. But what do you think, like, in terms of Vader versus the next 2.5 months of the meta and Worlds? Is it, like, is that the row that you want to keep hoeing, or are you think, like, what are you thinking? Give me your thoughts on the meta prospectively.
So, There's a dumb pun. Don't you mean prospectorly?
Got him.
Yeah, got him. Shoot, son. Yeah, so I think, I mean, really, I think our regional was really indicative of what the meta is going to look like. We're going to get like a mishmash of like scum, you know,
yeah.
That it gives the illusion of diversity because like everyone's just running the same pool of figures in different configurations. Like,
yeah,
but they're all the same kind of like, hey, they do VP stuff, but they also like have hunter cards.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, you know, you've got Spectre and you've got people who are still running Han Rangers like Isaac. Like,
yep.
Who I am crowning, like, the king of Han Rangers because, like, he's super good with it. And
yep.
I mean, you know, I was talking to JK because, you know, JK had talked to Isaac about it. And Isaac was just like, yeah, this is how you play Han Rangers against Spectre. And I was like, yeah, that's so smart. And, like, he just had really good advice. I was like, yeah, like, Isaac just knows how Han Rangers goes. Like,
yep. He's played it so many times that he knows what he needs to do and how to do it. So.
Yeah. You know, and then you've got Vader Palp Thrawn, which I think there's going to be a few different variations on that, right? Like I was running one variation at a time and I'm running a different one. You've got like, I don't know if DT ran this seriously or if this was like just experimentation, like in the league where he did, Vader and Thrawn with riots.
Yeah.
And Lion Ambush.
Yep.
I don't know if that's just like, hey, this is fun and I made this card, so someone should run it.
Yeah.
Or if that's, I thought about like just for fun, like trying it out and see how I feel about it. I've never played the game with Lion Ambush or against it.
Yeah.
Personally, I think that Imperialists and Vaderlists are going to be very unpopular. Like, honestly, like I think knowing like just people in the Slack, right? Like,
yeah.
I think it's probably like I'm the only one that I know of that is like dedicated to Vader. Like I'm definitely like, that's what I want to be doing. And
yes.
Probably
like you want to run Vader and you will keep trying to make him work as opposed to, oh, he's super good, so I'm going to play him.
Right. And I mean, I think there are definitely some people, not to be disingenuous, that are like, oh no, I want to run Vader too. But I think I'm a little stubborn and they're like, I'm going to make him work.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, as opposed to like, oh, do I think he'll work?
Yeah.
And I think the regional really got me thinking like, yeah, do I think I could win worlds with this list is like the metric that I want to use. And whether or not I could win worlds as a person is a different question. But I think, yeah Vader Palp Thrawn could beat any list.
Yeah.
And so I feel pretty good about that. And I think they don't really have a bad – I don't think Lothal is going to be a problem, like at least from the testing I've done. Like it's – there's the sight lines work out well enough that like you're not as susceptible to like Uskru. Like Uskru is okay. Like tough from like long range perspectives, like or with the box, but like Lothal, I think you've got some flexibility.
Okay.
And then like I think Spectre is going to slowly get less popular as people like figure out like how to tech
people
down.
Yeah, as people start teching, because I mean, I think now the case is at least definitely locally, like everyone's going to say, how do I beat Spectre? Like, does it beat Spectre? Okay, right. And it, even if that means we go all in on, like, I'll try like crazy wombo combos again with Jin, right? And her one in a million wild attack, tools for the job, you know, doing 13 damage and one-shotting somebody. I think people are going to start doing a lot of things like that. Like Matt Lansdowne in Kansas, he was running a Punishing Strike IG list. Which you think sounds kind of crazy, but as he was explaining on the Slack, like what he's doing is he's using cards like Toxic Dart, I think Cruel Strike, things to like apply stuns, hold people down, and then just beat the tar out of them right with IG so they can't on the land. So I think people are going to think of not just creative ways, but just, okay, what efficiently does what I need to do versus Spectre, right?
For and sure, yeah. And yeah, I think Spectre... because it's the same list, like the only variation you really get is the command card deck. And even then, like everybody's running Pummels, everyone's running Heart of Freedom. Like it's basically the same list every time. And the only variation is, did they run Doubt or Motivation or Extra Armor, which is probably not the case, but and so I think that becomes easier to tech against and easier to play against because, you know, with Vader Palp Thrawn, like, it's pretty well set in, but like some people are running spies and some people are running extra officers and some of the command cards are deck, even among the identical deployments. And so, I think that becomes different. I think what we're mostly going to see is we're going to get about 50% scum, maybe more.
I agree.
I think we're going to get about 20% Spectre. We're going to get about 15% other rebel stuff. And we're going to get whatever remaining percentage I've given there for Empire and probably
15%.
Yeah. 10-15%. And maybe 5% of that'll be Vader. Maybe 10%. Let's say 10%. I think playing an Imperial list that doesn't have Vader is like, I think there's going to be people like Brandon Kyocho who like ran a non-Vader list to top four at Worlds. And it's like, you know, who's just really good and like knows how to run like tarot, like the tarot and the ATDP didn't get any worse, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
I personally don't feel like I can run that as well as he could or as well as I could run Vader. So I don't want to run that.
Yeah.
But
it is going to be very, very interesting to see where we go. So in the future, so are there any changes you want to make to your Vader Palpatine list in order to account for Spectre? Is it more just like, nope, I just need to keep getting reps in so I know what I need to do on each map?
Yeah, a little column A, a little column B. I don't care about teching for Spectre. I feel like I've done like my whole, like the whole, I didn't come up with Vader Palpatine, but I came up with it for myself. Like I had not heard of it before I came up with the list. I'm sure, you know, those parallel thinking of like, you know, we, several people all over the country were like, let's try this. And my whole idea was, well, how do I make an Imperial Spectre cell?
Yeah, that's true. Which you've said before.
Yeah.
Which is a great insight.
And so like, I've been teching against Spectre cell with this list the whole time. And all my changes have been to tech for everything else. And mostly like my spy change was to tech against the box because that's the only list I'm afraid of. And I mean, it feels good to like, it feels good to have gotten so close to beating it. And I know that I will beat it. Like, it's just a matter of, you know, die rolls or card draws, right? Like
our game was decided by a die roll, right? Like,
And
if you would have taken the shot with a death trooper, it would have been decided by a die roll.
Exactly. So, right. So,
right. Like,
so it's certainly a matchup that, that can win, but like the thing that like disturbs me deeply, is that it was that close and I still lost with perfect card control. I got rid of Miracle Worker, Second Chance, and On the Lamb, which are the three cards I want to get rid of with you. I mean, Tools, obviously, is on that list, too. But, like, I couldn't have picked better cards to have gotten rid of.
Yeah.
And it still was, you know, ended the way it did. Like, to the point where...
I think, but that's a testament to the map matchup, right? Like, I'm able to apply a lot of pressure with long-range shots, which you can't really stop, right? And that's... And that's just that map.
Sure. But, you know, like, I guess, you know, if I hadn't gotten rid of On the Lamb, Han doesn't die.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
If I hadn't gotten rid of Miracle Worker, Drakata doesn't die. If I hadn't gotten rid of Second Chance, then maybe, you know, neither of them dies. And, you know, that's just, you know, that's huge. And so. That's part of my thoughts. The changes that I'm looking to make, I kind of threw it in the Slack today, was Celebration, because like everyone's running it. And I'm thinking I might trade Strat Shift for Celebration. And I know we've talked about Strat Shift and how great it is, and I agree.
Scott and I have talked about this like in terms of spy control a lot.
Yeah. So if I was running cross-trained Riots, it would be less of a debate in my mind because
interesting point.
I found that like, I've really only played Strat Shift effectively once or twice out of like six or seven games. Because either I draw it after the spy is dead. I would rather use the spy to take a different action or most of the time they do not have enough cards to justify it. And
especially Spectre Cell.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, you have three cards. Would you like to have one fewer? And you know, and there's the idea of like, well, what if they have Assassinate in hand? It's like, oh, but what if they don't and they draw into Assassinate, right? Like,
exactly. What if I'm giving them Assassinate? Yeah, I totally get this.
Right. And so, and there's something we said for I'm going to Intel Leak and then Strat Shift you, or even vice versa. I'm going to Strat Shift you and then I'm going to get rid of whatever card you have and really cripple you down to one card. And so I see the value there, but like, I just, like, I don't have a mock. I don't have someone whose sole purpose is there because, well, the like if the DT was regular,
yeah,
I'd feel differently. But I feel like my Death Trooper needs to get a little bit more value than just playing those cards. He needs to pick off a Jawa. He needs to pick off a smuggler or an officer. He needs to tandem work with Thrawn to pick off a Vinto or something that costs five, has 5 to 10 health. Like, he needs to do more than just play those cards.
That's a great point.
And I think Celebration, you know, so I mean, Celebration would have won me our game, right? When I killed MHD or Dracata or anything like that.
Or Han, right?
Right. And, you know, the fact that my list can't play objectives as effectively, that's a huge factor for me of just like, okay, like, you know, having those four extra points because everyone's got a unique figure. No one's not running unique figures. So it's never a dead card. And especially if you have Zillow, it's really never a dead card.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, the other thing that JJ in the Slack suggested was switching out face-to-face for Price of Glory. I have the points room for another point. I only run 14 points in the command deck.
Wow.
I mean, it's really not this. I mean, with how many good 0 and 1 cost cards there are, like.
Yeah, that's true. Because you've got, because like looking for a fight is 0 cost, right? Like,
yeah.
Dark energy is only 1 cost. Yeah.
That's yeah. Good point. I mean, so really what it was is I traded Brace for Impact for Element of Surprise. Okay. And that's where the point comes from.
Okay.
So, because like, so face, the conflict here is that face to face is 2 spaces. And it's just, it's the most effective way of getting Vader into the fight.
Yep.
And I can just,
you're going to hop right over difficult terrain. Just go for the kill.
Other figures. I mean, that's how I got over Zeb to be in the middle of Spectre Cell. And that one match was I just played face to face. Otherwise I'm not. And also it allows me because an attack is part of it. I can attack and force choke when I do it.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah. Awesome, man. That's so cool. What a play.
Yeah. But Price of Glory, you know, it lets you get a token if you want. It gives you 2 movement points, and it lets you recover or, like, remove a harmful condition. And, you know, I have Unshakable, but I see the value of if you've exhausted it or if you don't want to exhaust it yet, being able to play that card. Especially if, like, hey, I'm going to go Parting Blow and then play this card so that I can have it available for my next Parting Blow without activating.
Man, that's crazy.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's just going to take some testing and theorizing and praying to an elder god of evil.
That's right. Them pagan gods. Oh, man. They're
the best kind. Well,
okay. Let's not get blasphemous here. Well, Scott, many, many, many congratulations. I mean, I'm obviously very happy to have taken home the trophy, but to be 100% frank, I think the fact that I've been playing the box for so long, you know, like I feel obviously really good getting a regional, but you getting back-to-back regionals, I guess you do have Vader still, but the lists are actually, I think, very different in terms of Vader Pal Thrawn versus Vader Double Jets.
Yeah, they're very different.
Those are very different lists, and you deserve many kudos
for your
continued terrorizing of everybody.
You know, someone has to be the bad guy, Kenny.
That's true. Awesome. Well, Scott, do you have any more thoughts for us?
No, other than the box is awful and one day I'll tear it to shreds.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I hope that Spectre does. I hope that other people tech to beat Spectre so that I can keep just running my box.
Yeah.
But I am a little bit worried that Dracata is going to need to go because as good as she is against Empire, she cannot really cut it versus Spectre just because if I don't get 2 attacks off with her, I lose the game. And it's very easy versus Spectre, and it's very easy for Spectre to kill her in 2 hits. Like very, 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 very easy. And that is just not the kind of math you want to see. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes in the future. But I will definitely be taking MHD to Worlds again, that is for sure.
Right.
Awesome. All right. Well, we want to thank everybody for listening. I'm actually going to be breaking this episode up into two parts, so this should be the second part that you are listening to. Thank you all for listening all the way through. Again, if you're a patron, please remember to go to my Etsy page so you can order a tournament kit. All you're doing is paying for the shipping for your kit, and I will get it out to you. I've already sent out a ton. There are still a few U.S. patrons who need to order their kit. Again, if you're an international patron, I'm getting your shipping taken care of this week, hopefully. I've been packaging your envelopes and getting everything ready to go. We are doing a slightly slower freight, but I'm taking care of your postage on that. So it will be a little bit slower, but you don't have to pay Etsy shipping. So anyway, that is all the news that we have. Scott, thank you so much for coming on.
Of course. Thanks for having me.